please remain standing for the reading of the gospel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning I'll be reading out of John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hand and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told them, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in the book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Mike. I want to invite the kids to come up. Kind of doing this out of order, but I wanted them to hear the scripture. So, I gave you a little, come on up, guys. Yep. No, you just sit right here. I gave you a little something, an idea, because I told you that I can make this paperclip float on water. Can I do that? Anybody believe it? Any of you believe it?
Yeah.
Emmett believes it. Anybody else believe it? Oh, now, yeah. All right, so let's see. Ready? Are y'all watching? Didn't float, did it?
No, it sunk.
It sunk like a rock. All right, well, here. I have another idea. Let's try this. Here, come over here. Gather. A paper towel, a regular paper towel. Yeah, I'm going to be like a magician here. Yeah. Touch it. Yeah. Paper towel. Nothing special. There we go. All right. I made a paperclip float on water. Now, you didn't think I could do that. You doubted. I see where I'm going with this. You all see where I'm going. You knew where I was going with this. You doubted because you'd never seen that happen before. Anybody ever see that happen before? No. Because every time you see a paperclip, it sinks to the bottom. And so you all are kind of like doubting Thomas's, except you're doubting Caitlin's and doubting Emmett's and doubting Dylan's and doubting Susie's and doubting Blazin's and doubting Tanya. But now that you've seen it with your own eyes, do you believe it? Yeah, you believe it. So he had to see it. That's how Thomas was, because he wasn't around the first time Jesus kind of made a comeback after the resurrection. And all the disciples said, "Hey, he's alive. We saw him." And he said, "Oh, no, you didn't. He's not alive. Can't be. Unless I see it with my own eyes, unless I can put my finger in the holes in his hands and my hand in the side where they stabbed him. I'm not believing anything. So what do you suppose happened? Were you listening to the scripture that Mike read? Because what ended up happening is that then Thomas came back, and they were all locked in a room, and the next thing you know, who was there? Jesus, always the right answer. You got it. Jesus was there, and Jesus said to him, yeah, go ahead. Here's my hands. And he showed him, and he had holes in his hands. And he said, here, you can touch over here, right here where they stabbed me. You can touch that. And then he said, it's great that you see and you believe, but blessed is the one who believes without seeing. So if any of you really would have said, Emmett sort of said he thought I could do it, but he wasn't overly sure, were you? You didn't really think I could do it. I didn't think so. Look at it, it's still floating. We're going to see how long that floats. But sometimes we're like that. We got to see it to believe it. But yet, I can't put my hands in my fingers in Jesus' hands. I can't touch here. At some point, I'm probably going to be able to do that when I get to heaven. But unless Jesus comes back and says, hey, Vicky, you don't believe it? Here, touch me. I'm probably going to have a hard time believing it. But we believe even though we can't see, right? We believe that Jesus died and got buried. How many days was he buried for? Who knows?
Three.
Good job. 3 days. And then what happened?
He came back to life.
That's right. And so that means that because we believe that, that God gives his blessing to us. Okay, so they've had that. Okay, now we'll look at the stuff you brought. Oh, it's sinking. Now it's sinking. I moved it. Okay, what do you got? Oh, barf. It's the official barf book. You know, I was a nurse. I've seen stuff that looks like this. Yeah. Okay. God is so good that he knows what our bodies need. And so he made him so that when we're sick inside in our stomach, that we get rid of that. Because don't you always feel better once you throw up? You feel bad, and then, yeah, you don't, nobody likes to, anybody here like to throw up? No, nobody likes to throw up.
No, no.
But once we do it, don't we feel better?
Oh, yeah.
God was so smart that he designed our bodies so that when we throw up, we feel better. Okay, there's barf. All right. What else? Oh, my God, you got. Okay. Yeah. Well,
he's stretchy.
When we're all born, we look like this. We don't have any clothes on. We're just like this. And we're perfect, just the way God created us. All right, there you go. That's the best I can do, a stretchy man. What's this?
It's supposed to be a jet.
Did you build it? Did you build it?
Well,
with help? Cool. Cool. I think that when we believe in Jesus, and, you know, sometimes I know, I feel like I am just flying because I'm with Jesus. And it just feels so good to be free and to know that God loved me so much that he sent Jesus into the world. And so, although not that I'm not afraid every time I get on an airplane, but we won't talk about that. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not really. I like to fly. The best part's taking off and landing. Yeah, yeah. But sometimes I think it's like that with Jesus, too. The best part is when Jesus comes into your life and takes you with him, just like an airplane does. Okay? What do you got, Susie? Anything? A whole bag. The Mystery Club, that's a good book. Books are good. I think God wanted us to have books so that we get smarter.
Now you should just take one out.
Yeah, just give me one thing.
Just take one of those. They're all
pick one.
Same.
Oh. Oh, it's a unicorn. It's got a little thing here. What do you think happened to the unicorns?
You think they got extinct.
They got extinct, that's right. And because there wasn't anybody to take care of them. But yet, we're in the world, and we always have people to take care of us. You guys have moms and dads and grandmas and aunts and uncles and sons and daughters and people to take care of. And when we do that, then that helps us know, number one, that we're loved, and that, and especially when you have people in your life that care enough about you to bring you to church so that you can learn about things. All right. Is it a dog? A puppy. Does it have a name? Molly? That's a nice name. Do you sleep with this? Looks like Molly's been with you for a while. Yeah? You know, dogs are my favorite thing. You just have to ask your mom. I have enough of them. So do you sleep with it? You just like to carry it around? Yeah? Yeah? Well, I think that Jesus is like puppies because there's nothing better that we can cuddle and take care of than that. But did you know puppies are dogs, right? How do you spell dog? Right. How do you spell God? That's right. So God is dog spelled backwards. There's got to be a reason for that. How about that? All right. Then I got my farmer boy here. Look at there.
I know it's Legos.
You know it's Legos? Oh, yeah, you can see it. Dylan, did you make this? Very good. Boy, it's too bad Connor's not here today. Boy, he'd get into this. This is pretty cool. All right, so is there anything special about this trailer? It's a dump trailer. All right. So I think sometimes God and Jesus are like a dump trailer. Because sometimes as life goes on, we collect a lot of stuff. People say something bad to you, hurt your feelings, and you take it and you stick it in the dump trailer. And you don't do good on a test, take it and stick it in the dump trailer. Maybe you fall down and skin your knee, you think about that and you put it in the dump trailer. You get mad at your sister? You don't get mad at your sister, do you? Caitlin, you never get mad at Dylan, do you? You guys never get mad at each other, do you? Oh. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have 5 brothers and 1 sister.
Oh, I bet there's a lot of times somebody's mad over there, right? Yeah.
Back at our grandma's house, we made something.
Something like this? Yeah,
yeah,
with Legos? Yeah.
We can put like little Lego on the top.
Yeah, cool. So I think God is like this dump trailer because we put all that stuff in there and then we say, oh God, things are not going good and I need you to forgive me when I pick on my sister. Forgive me when I pick on my brother. Forgive me when I'm loud and picking on my sisters and brothers. Oh, 5 of them, woo. And then God sort of takes that, and he dumps it all out, and he puts the trailer back down, and there it is. It's all gone. Because you know what happens when we confess that something's not good, like we yelled at our sister? When we confess that to God, it goes away. It goes away. It goes like it's going to the deepest part of the sea, and it goes away as far as the east is from the west, as far as Jesus stretched his arms out on the cross for our forgiveness. How about that? All right, let's pray.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh.
Hey, I got something.
Where do you think she's up there?
Yeah. So this is a cricket cutie. This is a cricket cutie. I don't know why they call it cutie. It looks kind of goofy to me. But you know what? No matter how goofy he looks, no matter how goofy we look, no matter how goofy we are, Miss Tanya, God loves us all the time, no matter what. No matter what, don't ever let anybody tell you that God does not love you, because that's not true. All right, let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these children, and we thank you for their creativity and bringing things in. Bless them, surround them with a hedge of protection, keep them healthy and keep them safe, and may they continue to be inquisitive about who you are and how you interact in their life. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. All right, go back to where you came from. All right. Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be suitable and acceptable to you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, when we think about the disciples, a lot of the disciples had like little nicknames. And there are certain words that when we hear these words, then it reminds us of those disciples. For instance, Judas. The word that comes to mind is Judas the betrayer. When we think of Peter, you know, we think of him as the rock. That's right, that the foundation of the church was built on. But we also think when we hear the name Peter that he did not, especially at this time of the year, that he did not, Peter the denier, that he denied Christ three times. And then when we hear the name John, we think the one that Jesus loves. And when we hear the name Thomas, what's the first thing we think of?
Doubting
Thomas. So today we're going to look at the man that we know all too often as Doubting Thomas. And what I want to do today is to see if that name, Doubting Thomas, really fits the character of who Thomas really was. Is the doubting aspect of Thomas, is it really a negative? Or should we see it maybe as a positive trait? As an inquiring minds want to know, inquiring mind that needed to see the truth to believe. And then it was more than willing to believe once he saw the truth. Maybe he just needed to see the truth for himself because he had questions and he wanted those questions answered before he was able to really embrace and believe. You know, I think that the doubt that Thomas expressed is said very well in this quote. His doubt had a purpose. Thomas wanted to know the truth. His doubt gives evidence, but not a lack of faith, evidence of a desire to have faith founded in fact and not a bunch of foo-foo. He wanted to know. Get to the facts, ma'am, just the facts. You have to be of a certain age to understand that reference. In John 20:24, it's where he gets that name of Doubting Thomas. So we're going to look a little bit closer at that. I want you to hear, I'm going to repeat again from verse 24. Now Thomas, and he also had another name. Anybody know what that was? Didymus. I knew you'd know. Didymus, D-I-D-Y-M-U-S. Didymus was one of the 12, and he was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, I can imagine, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I am not going to believe." So a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, looked right at him, looked him in the eye and said, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." That's what Jesus said. Stop doubting and believe. And then Thomas responded, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You know, it's really easy to see where we get the name of Doubting Thomas for him, because even Jesus said, "Stop doubting, Thomas, believe." So it's easy to say, well, I guess he was a doubter. Even if Jesus called him out on it, he must have been a doubter. However, I think we need to look at the entire story a little closer. You know, Mary Magdalene was the first to see Jesus. And then she ran back and she told the disciples And what did the disciples do? Did they believe her?
No.
No. Those boys had to run all the way back to the tomb to see for themselves, even though they'd been hiding in a locked room. And the women were out doing, yes. Now, I'm not going to add anything that's not in the Bible, but I think that if we look at this, we would see that that Christ first appeared to a former prostitute, and the woman goes and tells a bunch of good Jewish boys that their Lord is risen. And I'm thinking, since they had to go see for themselves, that there was doubt in their minds as well. So it would seem that Thomas wasn't the only one who had to see in order to believe. But maybe he was the only one who expressed it like he did. He came right out and said, look, I'm just not going to believe this. You can't tell me that Jesus is walking around unless I see him. Thomas wasn't with them. And when they told him, he had said to what they had seen, he said, I got to see it to know it myself. So there was doubt in his mind, but I don't think the doubt was about Jesus. I don't think it was about that at all. I think he was doubting man. He was doubting the words that were being told by his fellow brothers and sisters. And he had to see for himself, and even though it had been a full week after everyone else had seen him, you know, he had to continue to believe because he showed back up again to be with the disciples. He was living on faith, but by being with the disciples a second time, I think it shows that he did continue to believe. He had to see for himself, but I don't think he ever gave up on Jesus. I don't think for one minute did he give up on him. But Thomas, I think, is a lot like us. He needs a faith that's founded on fact that he himself had discovered. And he wasn't going to take anyone else's word for it. It's just like us. Our faith can't be what we get from our parents. It can't be what we get from our spouses. It can't be what we get from our significant others or even our kids. It has to be something that we see and experience for ourselves. But when Thomas did doubt, he still remained a very faithful disciple. And the reaction that he has when he sees Jesus, when he addresses him, my Lord, my God, what a powerful truth that came out of Thomas's mouth. He knew that when he saw the risen Christ, that truly he was encountering God. And I'm sure he probably never, ever forgot that experience. You know, I know at times we really can identify a lot with Thomas. We have our doubts about our faith. And we want to know things. We want to know things for ourselves. Many times, nobody's word is good enough. Just because we tell something doesn't mean that people are going to believe it. And is this not having faith? I don't think so. I think we were created to ask questions, to be inquisitive, to want to know for ourselves. I think you were created to open up your Bible and read and to look and to search things out, to be part of a church community, to be a part of Bible studies where you can delve into the Word and see and learn for yourself. Because I could stand up here and that all day long. It doesn't mean that you believe me. And believe me, there have been people that have told me, I don't believe you. Y'all know that. What faith do you think is greater? The one that never doubts? Or the faith that doubts and investigates and then believes? What do you think? I think when we look for things ourselves, when we discover things ourselves, it's so much more tangible to us. You know, we see examples of this throughout history of people who doubted. You know, and some people even went as far as to try to disprove that Christ and the resurrection ever happened. We talked about that last Sunday on Easter Sunday. You know, they came up with this story that the body had been stolen. There was no resurrection. But here we are over 2,000 years later, and nobody has found a body of Jesus. Well, they're not going to find the body of Jesus because it's been resurrected. When we doubt and then we investigate, we find out, we begin to have a changed heart, a changed encounter with Christ. So when we have our doubts, or when we hear about the story of Doubting Thomas, of which I don't think there's been a Sunday that I've been a pastor that I, after Easter that I've been a pastor that I haven't preached on Doubting Thomas. We have to remember that he was so much more than a doubter. He was one who needed to find out for himself and needed to search for the truth, needed to believe, not because of what the other disciples had told him, but because of God revealing himself to him. And anytime we have any type of an encounter with Christ, we are changed. Our hearts are changed. Our hearts are open. And the author, Josh McDowell, said, "My heart cannot rejoice in what my mind rejects." So if we can't believe up here, our heart is not going to believe. So we have to kind of tie these two things together so that we search both with our heart and our mind, and that we allow our unseen faith to be discovered. I had a privilege yesterday afternoon. I had a music day yesterday. I went to a girl named Tom yesterday early afternoon, which was phenomenal. And then had the opportunity to see Zach Williams at the Learner. And it's been more than 3 years since I've been to a Christian concert, and I got to get my worship on and listen to these songs about, you know, do you believe this is my Jesus? And I sat there last night, and then I thought again this morning, because the same song, it was so weird because we went out, we got in the car, we turned on the radio, and a Zach Williams song was playing on the radio. And then partway home, the opening act was Ann Wilson. I don't know if you know her. She sings That's My Jesus? Yeah. That was playing. So I get in the car this morning to come to church, and what's on but Ann Wilson singing That's My Jesus. And I thought, wow, you know, it is my Jesus. And I want to share my Jesus, because the Jesus that I believe in, even though at some points in time I've had my doubts, the Jesus that I believe in is the Jesus who heals, is the Jesus who comforts, is the Jesus that walks with me no matter what's going on. And as crappy as things have been in the last 2.5 years, there's never been a time that I've doubted that Christ has not walked with me. And I hope the doubts that you have, that you will put those aside and you will read and you will investigate and you will pray. And you will listen. You will listen for that still small voice that tells you, I'm here. I am. I am who I said I am. And you are mine, and I am yours. And I think if we want to see our churches come back to life, we have to share our Jesus with what's going on out in the world. To prove, to say, you know, things are not going to get better. Things are not going to get better until we all come back to believing in this higher power, believing that Jesus is with us. So as we continue through these next couple weeks, because this really is the Easter season, this is kind of like Christmas. You know, we had Advent, and then we celebrate Christmas, and then everybody's ready to put everything away and say we're done, and then we're here and we're singing Christmas songs. Nobody likes that. Because you're ready to move on. Easter's the same way. We came. We had a whole week. where we heard stories and we experienced things, where we were reminded that we were forgiven. And then Easter came, and now here we are the week after. And if you have not seen the little short video that I posted on our Facebook page about the Easter hangover, please take a look at that. It's pretty interesting, because that's why I don't know where the other 40 or 50 that were here on Easter Sunday are this morning, but they're not here. But we'll continue to celebrate so that we can go out those doors and share the good news and take our Jesus with us. Will you pray with me, please? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the story of doubting Thomas that makes us understand that maybe doubts are not negative, that maybe doubts are what we need so that we learn for ourselves. And yes, Lord, we are blessed because Jesus said, blessed are those who believe even though they have not seen. But help us. Help us to take the belief that we have out into this world and share it with those who don't know you. Because, Lord, if we don't share, who will? If we don't praise, who will? If we don't give our testimonies of who you are in our life, who will? Lord, help us to stand up and be who you've called us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, our closing hymn this morning is...